This past weekend in Amsterdam, religious leaders of different Christian denominations came together to mark the 60th anniversary of the founding of the World Council of Churches. This important milestone of the ecumenical movement has already been celebrated at other events earlier this year, including a service in Geneva last February, attended by the spiritual leader of the Orthodox world, the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, Bartholomew I. But last Saturday marked 60 years to the day since the original 147 members of the World Council of Churches met in a church in the Dutch capital for their founding assembly on August 23, 1948.
The World Council of Churches, meeting at Amsterdam, sends this message of greeting to all who are in Christ and to all who wait for his word.
On that occasion, one of the delegates, Church of Scotland missionary and Bishop Leslie Newbiggin, read the following statement on behalf of the gathered assembly.
We bless God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gathers together in one the children of God that are scattered abroad. He has brought us here together at Amsterdam. We are divided from one another, not only in matters of faith, order and tradition, but also by pride of nation, class and race. We cannot make the church one, but Christ has made us his own, and he is not divided. In seeking him, we find one another.
Six decades on from that landmark gathering, the Geneva-based World Council of Churches now includes 349 member churches in countries around the world. They are still committed to the same goals of working for Christian unity and witnessing to the gospel values. This past weekend, the current leaders of the council have been paying tribute to the vision of those founding members at a prayer service in that same church, as well as other commemorative events, including the presentation of a book entitled The Ecumenical Movement at a Crossroads.
There are new challenges to the unity of the church. I would call it the challenge of post-denominationalism.
Reverend Dr. Samuel Kobia from the Methodist Church in Kenya is General Secretary of the World Council of Churches. He told me more about the vision that inspired those founding members in the aftermath of the Second World War.
There are two major driving forces, really. One is those church leaders at the time who, without consultation, felt that the time had come for the churches to overcome the historical divisions and come together in response to Jesus' prayer that they all may be one, as it is stated in John chapter 17 and verse 21. And the feeling that divisions in the churches was a scandal to the gospel of Jesus Christ was a very strong motivating factor. The second one, and the one that is known much more publicly, was the concern that war and violence and conflicts were working against God's design of what humanity should be and what our world and the society should be like. And that is why the first General Assembly, or the inaugural assembly, 60 years to the day here in Amsterdam, had the theme, God's design and man's disorder. And therefore, coming at the end of the Second World War, it was felt that the church and the Christians had a responsibility towards the rest of the world, whereby human beings will learn how to live together in peace and in harmony.
And 60 years on, those two themes, if you like, those two strands are very much still at the heart of the work of the World Council of Churches, aren't they? Both promoting Christian unity and promoting a Christian response to the conflicts, the violence that persist in today's world.
Yes, it did. And I would say that when you look at the work of the World Council in these last 60 years, we have provided a platform for churches to have a chance to work together for visible unity. And in this, on this score, the World Council of Churches and the Catholic Church have continued the legacy of faith and order, which was an ecumenical stream that had been started long before the World Council of Churches itself was inaugurated, at a time when faith and order as an ecumenical movement itself, together with the other strand, which clearly represents the other side of how to respond to the situation in the world, which was called the Life and Work Movement. They came together in Amsterdam in 1948 to form the World Council of Churches. And so Faith and Order has continued to be the major platform for the WCC, representing all our member churches and the Catholic Church, and I think together we have made commendable steps towards visible unity. Obviously, we still have a long way to go, but this, I think, has remained one of our main aspects of the ecumenical movement in the 20th and now 21st century.
As you say, Catholics are full members of that Faith and Order Commission, and yet the Catholic Church is not officially a part of the World Council of Churches. Would you like to see a stronger participation or even full membership of the Catholic Church in the Council?
Yes, the Catholic Church has remained a very strong participant in the faith and order work. And I would say that if the Catholic Church was not a member of Faith and Order, particularly, I think we certainly would have missed out on an extremely important contribution to the search for Christian unity. Now, the discussion about the membership, the formal membership of the Roman Catholic Church in the WCC has been going on since the time of the formation of the World Council of Churches. But we do understand that given that the WCC is a membership organization that brings together national churches which are affiliate members of the WCC, the Roman Catholic Church said, look, we are a global church, and therefore membership in the sense of national churches or national denominations at national level being members of WCC, perhaps it would be a bit of an anomaly, I would say. Nevertheless, I would want really to see the participation of the Catholic Church at the national and regional levels, and in many cases this is the case, I would like to see that much more strongly because it would enrich the national councils of churches, for example, where in some cases we find the work like faith and order being quite weak. And therefore, while I'm very happy with our work on the area of faith and order and the Catholic Church, I would want to see more participation at the national level. I think at the world level, the joint working group provides us with a platform where we have continued to work very closely and very well together.
What do you see as the main challenges to the World Council of Churches and indeed to the ecumenical movement at this point? I mean, there are many who are saying visible unity is further away today than it was even perhaps those 60 years ago when it was founded.
Yes, I would say that The challenge of unity still remains the biggest challenge, and it is true that there are new challenges to unity of the church. I would call it the challenge of post-denominationalism, because there are many of our member churches who today are themselves facing very serious challenge, even at the level of a denomination, because there are now so many congregations that are emerging as non-denominational congregations, so that you will find many Methodists and Anglicans and Presbyterians attending churches to which they are not themselves committed to, even at the denominational level. And I think the ecumenical movement is going to face this as a major challenge in the 21st century, where we see our attempt to overcome doctrinal differences being now put at the back burner, if you will, because that is no longer as critical to the younger generation. They do not see doctrines, as far as they are concerned, as being major obstacles in the way they relate to other Christians. So that remains a major challenge. The second one is at the ethical level, where I see some of the church dividing issues now in the 21st century being those of ethical nature, like sexuality, where you find that how each church and the churches together trying to deal with the issue of homosexuality, the issue of stem cell research, the issue of abortion. And therefore, you'll find that in these issues, there is danger of more division even at the denominational level.
If you had to look back and say, perhaps, what is the greatest achievement of the World Council of Churches, what would you say?
I would look at two areas in which I would say the World Council of Churches has really made a significant contribution. One is in search for unity. Together with the Catholic Church, I would say that the work on Baptist, Eucharist, and ministry remains, I would say, the most significant achievement that we have had. And so far, there has been a mutual recognition of baptism in a way that if WCC did not take initiative and provide platforms for that, I would say we wouldn't have achieved as much. So that is one area I would say that we have made a very specific contribution in the search for visible unity. And we continue to work on the area of Eucharist and the ministry. The second one, I would say that what the World Council set to do in 1948, and that is to challenge the world on issues that have to do with discrimination, for example, racial discrimination, the issues of poverty, the issues of caring for the creation. I would say that long before even the United Nations took these issues as seriously as they do today, leave alone the civil society, the World Council of Churches, especially because of the motivation of the first General Assembly, has continued to talk of responsible society, not aligning with any one particular ideology, but saying that if we are to be responsible to each other as human beings, then it is possible to work for those things that affirm the dignity of human beings. So I would say these really are two areas that I would like to cite as contributions and the achievements of the WCC.
And my thanks there to Dr. Samuel Kobia from the Methodist Church in Kenya, the current General Secretary of the World Council of Churches.